You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake up, Hollywood. It's your host of the most, Nikki Kalula. We're going to jump right into this interview. We had some technical difficulties. We got it all squared away, we think. Anyways, let's please welcome back a guest who's been on here before, Miss Sarah Day. How are you, Sarah?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you, darling. Thanks for having me.
You made it, and you're getting ready for, you got a gig coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But I know you hail all the way from Miami, right? Were you born and raised in Miami?
No, I'm not from Miami at all. I'm from Toronto, Canada.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're Canadian. That's right. I always forget that. But you did live in Miami for a while, right? Sarah, you're freezing for some reason. It could be your internet connection. Are you with me? Can you hear me?
Hello, are you there?
Oh, yeah. Now I got you. For some reason, your internet freezes, so you're frozen. But anyways, you did live in Miami for some time, though, right?
Can you hear me?
All right. Did you live in Miami for some time, didn't you? Sarah?
No, that are in Miami that you met at NAMM.
Oh, I thought you lived in Miami for a little bit. No, not at all. No.
I'm here.
Can you hear me?
He's with them.
Yeah. That's right. Yes. That's right. Did you ever play the Horseshoe Tavern in Toronto?
No, but I know of it. Mostly blues and rock bands play there. When I came up, I left Canada. I played most of the like funk, R&B, jazz, pop, you know, spots. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah. Where did you play in Toronto? What were like the spots you played the most over there?
Oh, man. I mean, they aren't even existent now. So it's not even, nobody would know them. I played basically, let's put it this way. I played the whole circuit. I played the all downtown. I'm born and raised in Toronto, Canada. So I played, I was a professional dancer. So I danced all over the whole city and I sang all over the whole city. And then I left and went over to Southeast Asia, where I toured internationally for 5 years consecutively in 5 countries. And then I moved to LA. So
what countries in Southeast Asia did you tour?
Singapore, Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia, Hong Kong, and did amazing, made the best money in my life, toured, it had a great time, and then I moved to LA and to check it out, and now I'm on my fourth visa as an extraordinary singer-songwriter.
That's awesome. Hardest visa,
very hard to get, but I thankfully have been working with some of the best, including Chucky Booker, who just did the new single, and Narda Michael Walden, who wrote a letter for me as well, who did, you know, produce Whitney and so many hits with Whitney and so many other legends. Just incredible people. Kevin Dorsey, that worked with Michael Jackson, that wrote letters for me and sponsored me and just helped me with the visa. Been watching me do my thing for years and supporting. So I've been super grateful and humbled by the support that I've gotten.
Well, what's cool is like you came to LA, you probably like outgrew your pond in Toronto. And then you came to LA and you're like, oh my God, this is a much bigger pond, more people, more talent, well, more craziness.
Yeah, no, I was in Asia for like 5 years and then I came here. So I never even went to America until I was in Asia in wow. 5 years. And then I came here. And then I came to explore because one of my friends lived here and was like, you got to come to LA. And then I wanted more. I wanted to work with the best of the best. I wanted to grow as a songwriter, grow as a entertainer. And I basically got my chops in Toronto and then in Asia. And I worked with all cats from LA in Asia.
Wow.
That were like Marvin Gaye and Aretha Franklin. And they were like, well, when we're done with you, no one's going to leap with you in LA. You know what I mean?
That's awesome. So did you have a favorite Southeast Asian country that you toured in?
Well, I was in all of them, Singapore, Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia, Hong Kong. I literally lived in all of those countries for like 6 months at a time, and would be going here, there, and everywhere. And I loved all of them, honestly. I just had such an amazing time. Malaysia, I spent a lot of time. I loved it so much there. It's a Muslim country, very different, but it's such a party place too. And they love the music and they appreciate it. But all the countries. I was blessed, and I could, just like Europe, you can fly around so cheap, and they paid for everything. So I was just stacking money. So it was like really great. American money, all I would do was, you know, shop a little bit and save up, you know. So
I've been to Kuala Lumpur, and I loved it. It was just so freaking humid. I mean, it is crazy humid, but the food, the people, the vibe, it's so lively. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah,
how did you deal with that coming from Toronto? You came from Toronto, which is like a pretty cold climate for, you know, I'd say 6 months out of the year. And then going to Southeast Asia where it's mostly hot and monsoon and rainy, right?
No, but the thing is, we do have four seasons. So I have always been a beach girl. I've always loved the nice weather. Just because I happen to live in the cold weather for 6 months a year doesn't mean I ain't loving the heat. You know, I actually love the heat way more. So I've always been like a beach girl. And I love the hot weather. Now, my hair doesn't like the humidity. So forget about having straight hair. But, you know, you're like basically in air conditioning a lot when you're trying to keep your hair a certain way when you're over there. But no, I loved it. I loved it so much. I love being in Bali, Indonesia. I lived in Bali for a year. And I wore like, you know, driving a scooter with a bikini and a little sundress, you know, like that was the life there for a year. I lived there and I would just tour and do different shows in different countries and base there. That was in between my second visa. I had to leave and I got an offer to, you know, make $4,000 for one night for New Year's in Bali at the biggest hotel. So they flew me in and it was amazing. You know, I had a great time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What an experience. Yeah. And now you come to LA and it's like, it's a different scene altogether. And I love your hustle. You're always hustling. You're always working with producers. You're always doing gigs. We ran into each other at NAMM, which was so fortuitous. And you got a big show coming up on February 15th. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about that show?
Yeah. So really exciting. My girlfriend, Charlene, who's a world champion salsa dancer, she has a company called Forbidden Roses. Living room to ballroom. She teaches and throws these incredible shows with live bands. I actually been a fan going to dance because I actually dance salsa as well, merengue,
cumbia. That's awesome.
We connected and then she was like, you know what? Like, I would love to do a show with your band and you featuring with our dancers. So we put a show together with me and my band featuring, headlining, and the burlesque dancers and aerial acrobatics. Amazing. We sold out the first show on Halloween at Harbell's in Santa Monica, and now we're doing Valentine's Day. So, but we're doing the 15th Valentine's, and sorry, my kitty's crying. And
that's awesome. You went all over town getting your cat. Your cat is at home where he wants to be, right?
I know. And I'm just going to show you. He's so cute. Look at him.
Please. My little boy. That's cute.
Yeah, February.
Your mommy loves you very much because she sat in traffic to get you today.
Oh, man. Trust me. It was a nightmare. But, that's the 15th at Harbell's, Santa Monica, very famous blues and jazz club speakeasy. And I've sang years there. Excuse me.
That's a very famous club. I performed there myself a couple times. It never gets old. It's just one of the staples of Santa Monica, especially Los Angeles. Let's play a little promo. We're going to play the promo clip number one for your show on the 15th. Here we go.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's my kind of party, girl.
I'm talking. The girl is going to be sexy, y'all. It's exciting. People just get right into it. The girls are on the bar, on the tables, through the whole spot. They just devour the venue. And I'm throwing down with my band, my Daydream Team. We have a blast, some incredible musicians. And I'm known to sing, you know,
Awesome. And are they coordinating dances to your songs? Are you kind of playing in between dances as they're changing stages?
No. Oh, no, it's every single song. There's new dancers coming out, full routines. Like, it's incredible. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a whole night of full on. I am featuring my original music as well and my new single with Chucky Booker called Catch Me If I Fall, which we're going to play, I believe. And I'm promoting right now. So please go get it. All platforms. And I'm going to be performing that as well as a few other originals. In between, so we'll be doing like a few openers and then the whole set with all the dancers, and then we close out with a few songs as well.
Well, let's play the promo number two and show you off a little bit so people can hear how well you sing. Here's Sarah Day's promo for her show on the 15th. Yeah, that's awesome. So do you have a favorite? Like you know what? I know you do a lot of pop. I know you do a lot of funk, soul, jazz. Do you have a favorite genre that you love to sing, or is it kind of like all parts of your heart?
I just say soul because I believe it's all soulful. I mean, I have a very soulful voice. So it's basically, you know, a mixture of funk, soul, R&B, some pop. I like to pick stuff that not everybody does, and I kind of find what you know feels natural to me and what touches my spirit, because I know if it touches my spirit and I'm going to sing it from my soul, then it'll reach other people. And so, you know, I do some Amy Winehouse, some Aretha Franklin, some Chaka Khan, Angie Stone, Erykah Badu, you know, Sade, mix it up. And then I'm doing
Those artists. I don't know if I told you, I opened up for Erykah Badu and I got to watch her set while she played, and I was standing behind her drummer. Like, I was standing right behind her drummer, and I think her drummer missed some cue or something, and she gave him a death stare, but I thought she was looking at me, and I froze for a second. I was like, what did I do? I thought I clicked some cable or something, and then he kind of like looked at her like, that was me. And I was like, thank God that look wasn't for me, because it looked good kill. She had them. Oh, she definitely God. Had the looks like a kill, you know, but she's one of my favorites. So I love that you mentioned her, because she's just an amazing musician. So let's talk a little bit about this single. You got this single coming out. Tell me, like, what was the inspiration behind writing it? Tell me what the recording process was like. Let's get into it.
Okay, well, first of all, it's already out. So it's out and I'm pushing it already. It's on all platforms. Catch Me If I Fall. Chucky Booker and I have been talking about working for quite a while. Chucky Booker is a legendary musician and producer and musical director for Lionel Richie. Did the Janet Jackson Rhythm Nation tour. Wow. TLC, Tina Turner. I mean, just so many incredible artists. He also had the group Troop, you know. Spread my wings, fly away, you know, and then his own hit. So I'm a big fan from back in the days. And funny enough, I actually danced at our Much Music in Toronto for his act, you know, the guys for from Troop. And wow. I didn't even know it. And the first concert I ever went to was Barry White, which is his godfather.
Wow, and that's crazy.
And he was playing on stage the first concert my father ever took me, which Barry White, Chucky was playing on stage with him because he was on the road with him. He took him under his wing. And I was like, damn, like it's like a, it's literally like a full circle to work with him all these years later. And he saw me at NAMM. I was performing live at NAMM. I had my own booth and he walked by and he was like, Sarah Day. And I was like, Chucky Booker. And then we finally, at that point I was in LA and I had a car and I had my, you know, shit together and I could actually go and meet him and like hook it up, you know, cause he had invited me to go see Lionel Richie and stuff like that in Vegas. But I was all like, right. No, I'm trying to be, you know, groupie girl or like, you know, just, I wanted to get down to the work, you know, the business. So, and I just want to make sure that I could cover my own. So I did, I, you know, kind of timing just aligned. It was like perfect timing. When we actually finally met in person, because we had talked for 5 years about working. And so we got together, he heard me live, which was amazing. And he's like, you need a sexy song because I've got, you know, I perform and I got the sex appeal. I kind of always get that. Oh, you're so sexy. And I'm like, well, it just exudes out of me. It's just natural. I get it from my mama.
That's there amazing. You go.
And, you know, and so he actually, you know, put the music together. And when I went over there, I literally prayed on my way to the session and was like, God, just, you know, allow me to write my best and be inspired and just give my best vocally and, you know, writing wise. And he just looked at me and played the track because he, you know, created it for me and said, you write, right? And then he's like, go for it. And I was like, oh, damn. Like, I thought, you know, I wasn't sure what to expect, but I definitely kind of thought we were going to like, you know, maybe he was going to take the lead. And he just let me do my thing. And he really...
That's cool.
You know, yeah, everything that I wrote, he loved it. He's like, love it. Put it down. Let's go. Record it, you know? And I was just like, oh, my God. I'm like, you know, so it was just a super... It was an amazing flow. We did the song in one day.
Wow.
We recorded it. And the only other thing I did was go back for a session to do ad-libs. And it was just so fluid, you know. He did have the idea of the title, like Catch Me If I Fall, which I loved instantly. And then we kind of, you know, felt the vibe and the melody. And we just like worked so well together. It was so natural. And he was so supportive. I even kind of was like, oh, should I sing this part? You know, because I work with different American musicians, some older cats that would be like, oh, no, the vowel is like this, or because I'm Canadian. So I do have an accent and my own like kind of twang and style.
So you put an A in every syllable?
Right? Yeah, right. So it was like, and he was like, no, that's what's so beautiful about it. Like, you're different. That's you. Like, don't change anything. It's awesome. You're dope. And I'm like, oh my God, really? Like, you know, he really like made me feel awesome. so good. And like for someone like him, you know, that's just so accomplished and just an incredible genius musician. I was really extremely humbled and grateful. And yeah, it gave me a lot of confidence and I'm so proud of the song. So it's all, you know, it's.
And when tell me a little bit about the inspiration behind the song, what went into the lyrics? Was it a heartbreak song? Was it about like hope? Tell me what was the motive behind it?
Yeah, so it's like kind of like Catch Me If I Fall. So it's kind of like, you know, when it's just very sexy. It's about being in the moment. It's about being with somebody. And, you know, sometimes you really feel in someone and, you know, you're like holding back, but you want to like, kind of maybe you want to like give in, you know, but you're like, you know, trying to, you know, see what like what is this, you know, kind of. And I've been in a lot of situations like that in the past. Like I've written some stuff about that, you know, you're just kind of like you're not sure what this is, or but you know you're feeling the natural passion and connection, but you're not quite sure. So it's kind of like Catch Me If I Fall, like, you know, in love. Like, if I fall in love, if I fall, like, catch me, don't leave me hanging, like, you know. And then it's just kind of like passion and all feel, you know. It's right. Just it's a lovemaking jam. We're getting back to lovemaking music, you know.
That's awesome. Like, that's what's missing. Well, you know, I always tell people, it's like, especially artists, I'm like, make the music you want to hear, because that's the thing. That if you want to hear something, then other people are going to want to hear it too, you know? And, you know, I got just a random question about the Toronto music scene. I know you've been out here forever, but do you find that the music scenes are also kind of different, and also there's an identity with each one, but then there's also at the nucleus of it, it's all the same community. But tell me, like, how the different, what are the differences between, like, the Toronto music scene and the LA music scene?
Well, I think that we're so blessed being in Toronto. First of all, the culture is incredible. We're all immigrants there. So we're generations and generations of immigrants and immigrants' children. So there's like so much mixture. Like, you'll have like a Chinese, Jamaican, Indian, and like an African, Italian, French. And, like, you know, everyone's so mixed. So it's a melting pot of, I've never seen another country or city where it's so mixed, you know? Whereas in America, you find that there's a lot of culture, but there's a lot of separatism, and there's still a lot of prejudice, sadly, and all that from the history. But Toronto is just like a melting pot. So you have culture like coming out of your, you know, yin yang everywhere. And we're surrounded by some of the most soulful, you know, jazz influenced cities in the world, like, you know, New York, Chicago, Detroit, Philly. You know, we're surrounded by the East Coast states, and a lot of them came over. You know, and so our scene, we had a lot of jazz festivals and blues. And actually, I did a musical with a jazz blues pioneer, Salome Bay, that gave me my first opportunity in musical as a singer, dancer, actor. And my first off-Broadway musical called Rainbow World, which was also about the mix of cultures. And it was like two different gangs. And she gave me my first opportunity. And she, oh my goodness, what a legend. Her brother was Andy Bay, a famous pianist, jazz pianist, and the Bay sisters as well were very well known back in the day. But anyways, it's just so unbelievably diverse and so much talent. I mean, just the soul and the funk and the jazz. I grew up like literally going to see live bands who, you know, amazing artists that became my friends, and I would dance years in front of their bands, you know, going to support, because I was a professional dancer. And not till I went to musical theater college was when they were like, I was like, I'm a dancer and I sing and I act, you know, like a J-Lo story, like kind of like Fame, you know. But they were like, oh no, you need to focus on your voice, because you can get lead roles, like more, you know, principal stuff.
You're like, yes, I should. You're right. I am a star.
I didn't even know that I had the voice that I did. I was like, really? Like, and then I would have to sing in class every day, you know, doing musical theater presentation. And, you know, we'd have to sing songs for a class in front of the whole class. And I would have people like emotional crying. And I was just like, what? Like, I didn't even know. So I started focusing on it because my teachers were the biggest casting directors in Canada. And I was like, okay, well, they're telling me, and they're the casting directors. And eventually they started inviting me to musicals. And one of the musicals, funny enough, was We Will Rock You. And my teacher told me, I can't sing any Black musicals because I'm not African-American or not Black.
What? Who would tell you that? That's crazy.
But the thing is that I was like, but this is the music that I feel. And so I would pick songs like from Once on This Island or like, you know, some different musicals. And she would, you know, say, you can't sing that. Well, funny enough, years later, wasn't she the same casting director that invited me for the lead role to audition for We Will Rock You? And I walked in and I was the only white girl there because it was, you know, specifically a Black role, like, you know, a Black woman, the role. But she invited me. And I was like, see, that's why you got to always follow your heart and you know, do what you want to do, because she ended up being the one that invited me and went against her own word.
I think it's really like blasphemous when any art has any prejudice. Because at the end of the day, it should be meritocracy that wins. It should always be about, do you have the talent? Do you have the merit to make it what it is? And I think it's silly when anybody talks about, oh, they're not black enough, they're not white enough. It's like, you know what? I know both cultures have people that I know that are better than people that would think that they're not as good, you know, like in the sense of like the stereotype, you know. I know white guys that can sing better than black guys. I know black guys that can, you know, sing, you know, jazz better than white guys, you know. Just, it just doesn't matter as long as you can do it. Like, you know what I mean? No, and I've faced it. I've gone through it. It's like, I'm an Indian guy playing rock and roll and blues and world music and stuff. And I'm not playing Indian music. I love it. I think it's silly. I love it.
And you know what? My building in Toronto, in the West Side, I was raised in Rexdale. My building was Punjab, reggae, calypso, and hip hop.
That's awesome.
And I would wear bindis because I grew up with the women and I danced, you know, I took Indian dance. I took African dance. I grew up with Jamaicans, Trinidadian, Bajan, and I sang in reggae bands. I actually got flown to Jamaica, Kingston, Jamaica, to open up for Richie Stevens' album launch with Capleton, Mavado, and Blue Love Crew. And I'm this little white girl with no name, but they were like, watch this gal dance. Watch how she dance, man. And then they put me to dance in the middle of the, like, thousands of people. And
your accent is good, by the way. Your accent is good. Hey, that's good.
Hey, I'm a yad gal at heart, man. For real. For real.
Well, I mean, I've always known this about you, too. You kind of like, you're drawn to all cultures, all styles of music, and you kind of like live in the realm of the world in the sense of like different things are going to influence you. And those are usually the best artists. I mean, Michael Jackson was like that. All the greatest artists, you know, Stevie Wonder, they all listen to so much other music, which they infuse into their own stuff, whether it's reggae or it's African or it's, you know, whatever it is. So I think it's super important to kind of like always stay open to that, because there's nothing better when an artist has dimensions to what they're kind of building as far as repertoire, you know?
Yeah, and then in Toronto, we used to go, all of our girls, we used to go to all the Latin clubs and dance. And you know, the salsa merengue. So like, I had that. Yeah, my friends were the United Nations, honestly. And you know what,
when it comes to pocket, I think salsa and merengue has some of the deepest pocket of all music. You know, it's like, it's all built on the clave, and it's just like, man, it's just super, super powerful and deep and very underestimated. People just think, oh yeah, it's easy to play that. It ain't easy to play that. It's actually one of they make it look so easy, and that's what makes it so difficult, is when it's good.
And that's reggae, you know? And that's reggae too.
Yeah, I totally agree.
A lot of musicians, especially since I was out here, like I saw, you know, a lot of American musicians that would be like, reggae, and I'm like, what are you talking about, man? Like, are you kidding me? Like, yeah, it's just maybe the simplest, but the simplest is the hardest for people. And I think sometimes that's why some people don't like it, because it's not easy to do, actually. It looks very easy. It might be only a few chords, but it's like groove and just being in that pocket, you know, and being able to stay there and feel it, you know. And I don't know how anyone could love Bob Marley, you know. He's my favorite.
I've been wearing a Bob Marley jacket all day today because I'm so excited for that movie to come out. So, like, I'm such a huge reggae fan. I can't wait. But let's talk about, you know, this single. So tell me one of the things when you were working with Chucky Booker, tell me one of the things that you learned from him that was like the deepest lesson or like the best part of the experience. Tell me what that was like.
Oh, man. I think just trusting myself, you know, because he just really, like, he just was like, yeah, he's like, you're dope. Like, that was, and I was, you know, because you hear people tell you things, you know, or like you're working with certain people that, you know, speak into your life in certain ways. And I've always been very confident, you know, but I think, you know, when you're with a great and someone that's like legendary, that's worked with like the best, and, you know, I would say that, you know, I was a little intimidated. I didn't know what to expect, you know, but he just made it so comfortable. I think the thing I've learned over my whole career, especially since in LA, is that the best of the best are the most humble. and the most kind, usually.
Yeah,
they don't speak
that's absolutely
much,
true.
And they really lean into you, you know what I mean? And they want to bring the best out of you. So I really learned that, you know what? It got what it takes. And I am working with Chucky Booker because I'm great at what I do. And
right.
I do have a voice and I'm unique. And, you know, because I did come up in a time where it was like, oh, you can't sound like that.
Right.
How do you get that soul? You sound, you know, like some people will tell me some crazy things like, you know, I don't even want to say them, but, you know, I always get compared, you know, like that I don't sound like a white girl. Like you sound like a big black woman, or like they say, you know, God, where'd you get that soul from? And it's like, well, I was raised with soul surrounding me. My dad had an amazing Motown collection, played guitar, sang blues, folk, rocks, you know.
Like so it's in your standard. Blood. It's in your blood.
And then exactly. And then surrounded by the culture and then, you know, just all the musicians I've been so blessed to work with. But, you know, he's definitely, I'm looking forward. We're supposed to do like 3 or 4 more. I'm looking forward to doing the funk with him next, like the up tempo. But we started off with this ballad. And I really trusted him in it. And he just, you know, brought us to the table on his end. And I brought what I brought. And it was just so beautiful.
Well, let's play it. Let's play it before we run out of time. Here is Sarah Day with Catch Me If I Fall.
When you're calling my name, this loving won't be on hold. Truth must be told. I don't wanna be alone. I know where you belong.
Consequences and repercussions. My love needs no discussion. I'll put it on you. You won't look back. This love throwback. Catch me if I fall. If I fall. Won't you? Won't you? Catch me.
Track is hot, girl. The track is hot. So tell me, I love the slow jam thing. I wouldn't have thought that you would have made a slow jam. Was there, like, do you listen to a lot of slow jams? Was that the inspiration behind it? Or was it a track he made and kind of you wrote over? Tell me, like, a little bit of the process.
No, he actually created that for me.
Oh, that's cool.
It for me in mind what, you know, what he believed that we should do for the first track. So
that's awesome.
Like I said, I do. Yeah. Like I definitely do a lot of sexy stuff. He heard some of my other stuff that I written that I was doing live at NAMM, and he's like, oh, you need a sexy song. And yeah, we both love, you know, slow jams and great R&B and soul. And he just, yeah, I didn't know what he was going to produce. That's what he produced, and that's what I wrote on. I came to the studio, he presented it to me, and we just went for it. I just wrote, and he loved, like I said, he loved everything I did. And then the second verse, the spoken word part, at first I was maybe going to double that, and then we decided to write that, so he came in on that with me. But actually, Lionel Richie called in the middle of the session. And he's like, I'm so sorry, I got to take that. And I'm like, go ahead. Yeah, you know, okay. Like,
go ahead.
Course,
go ahead. Take that call from Lionel. You should have gone on the phone and been like, Lionel, how dare you?
I know. And I'm like, so he left me with the track running. So I just kept writing, and I just wrote those spoken word parts. And then when he came back, I was like, okay, I wrote something. Can I, you know, sing it to you? And he's like, okay, let me hear. And then I sang it back, and he loved it. And I put it down. So it just kind of, like I said, it just like flowed. And it just naturally came from me. You know, it's simple as that. There's not much more to it. I literally felt the music, put myself in the mind space of like what I was feeling, you know, the passion.
Yeah, and
I love the production,
the groove, everything's so great. Your vocals are really great. I love the production on it. I like the background vocals and kind of like the little touches and flourishes you put on it. Really nice, really well put together. Where can people find you if they want to find you online?
Okay, so everything's under sarahdaye.com, and it's sarahdaye.com. Everything's on there, my social media. This song, Catch Me If I Fall, is on all platforms, anywhere you want. Everything's on sarahdaye.com. Check out my shows there. I've got new merch for the new single. And then I'm doing a new song with, I got a new single coming up called All Right with one of my boys I write with, William. Actually, Chucky ended up getting it mastered for me because he liked it so much. The hook is, everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. It's kind of like a funk jam. Like it's a little Chaka Khan vibes, he thought.
Love it.
He actually
got
it mastered for me. So grateful. He's been blessing me. And then I'm doing one with Narda Michael Walden. And I'm finishing that. It's been a little journey trying to get that done, but I'm almost done. And so, yeah, I have a few more singles coming. So just keep, you know, keep in with me. SarahDaye.com. Everything's under Sarah Daye. Make it really simple so everyone can find me.
And your gig's at Harvell's on Thursday, February 15th. And what time is the show?
Yeah. Harvell's Santa Monica. Doors open at 8 o'clock. Show starts at 9:30, 9:45. And it's all night affair. So we'll be going to like midnight, the show. And then I think it stays open till like 1 or something like that for drinks after whatever. And yeah, it's going to be great. So, and that's Harvell's SM Santa Monica at Harvell's SM on Instagram. But you can find everything also on my website, sarahdaye.com, or you can go to forbiddenroses.com to buy tickets at forbiddenroses.com. All the links are on my website and also at Harvell's, the same information. So it's
awesome. Well, Sarah, it's always wonderful to have you as a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. This is your second or third time. I think it's your second time, right? Yeah. Second time? Well, we're going to have to have you back. We're going to have to have you back when you keep doing more songs with Chucky Booker. So tell Chucky we dig the songs. and just keep on making them songs and keep on singing them songs. And we're going to have to catch you at Harbell's, and we're going to catch you on your website. On behalf of Sarah, myself, and Sam, happy Valentine's Day, everybody. We'll see you guys next week. Peace and love.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.